Okay, I'd like to call the meeting of the CSC's County Discovery Day of Order, and would you join Director Keel, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
President Pease?
Here.
Vice President Lee?
Here.
Director Graves? Absent. Director Simon?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Okay, at this particular time, we're going to go to public comments at this section of the meeting. Anyone in the public can speak to us about anything that is not on the agenda.
Do you want to have them announce that though before?
We have 3 minutes time. Do we have any public comments? Please.
Please do that before it closes public comment.
Good evening. My name is Alberto Delgado. I am a resident of Discovery Bay since 1991. I live outside the Public Law area, and since 2000, I've been inside the Public Law area. 2173, Sherwood Court. The reason for me to be here tonight, that I want to address the condition of the landscaping in Discovery Bay. I commend the town for beautifying Coblain, for beautifying Bakeler, for beautifying Discovery Bay Boulevard. But I'm ashamed that Highway 4, between the entrance of Discovery Bay Boulevard and Newport Drive, is a mess. It reminds me, I go to Mexico every month, and some areas of Mexico look better than that. The Safeway strip, where the mall, where the shopping center is beautiful. I know that probably they're beautiful. The area of that residential area between Bixler and Highway J4 is this. I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me it's not my mall, it's the state, it's the county. Hoffman Mayor promised 25, 40 years ago to clean it. But you know something? Now you're a town. And I don't know what you need to do, but the fact that we are proud of this community, that is a change, and you need to fix it. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you need to find the dollar to do it, because that will enhance and develop more the pride of the community where we are living. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We can't make any comments at this time of public comments. Is there any other public comments? Yes.
My name is Terry Mahaney. I've been out here since 1989. I live on Discovery Bay Boulevard. And when I first moved out here, it was basically retired folks and a few workers. Now it's gone the other way around. It's more working folks than the retired folks. And I see the place going to this way. I mean, we have more theft, we have more speeding, we have more vandalism, we have more everything out here. It seems like when you call the CHP to have them do anything on the highway here, yeah, well, okay, yeah, we'll get out there. Never say anything. They had one guy come out, sat in front of my house and did put his radar in. Or the guy's sitting in a cop car. Well, as soon as you drive in the entrance here, Facebook goes up, cops are in town. So everybody watches what you're doing. I talked to a sheriff the other day who said that they do have officers that have been trained in radar. Why can't the sheriff department do radar on Discovery Bay Boulevard, Willow Lake, all these freeway streets we have up around here? There's no reason why they can't do that. CHP has had the streets, and sheriff that does have the property department, to what I've been told. But everybody's talking about money. Why can't the sheriff get a couple of radar cops out here? I'm not saying on a regular basis, but just randomly. Because like I said, anytime you drive in here, a sheriff car, CHP car, anything, a flag goes up, everybody stops off what they're doing. The traffic starts in about 4:30 in the morning, doing 40, 50, 60 miles an hour down, everybody's leaving. And then it goes from there to the gardeners and the construction guys are coming into work. The parents are taking their kids to school, putting on their makeup, talking on their phone, drinking their coffee, doing 40, 50 miles an hour. And then it's back and forth with the construction, FedEx, UPS, all that stuff all day long. And then about 2:30 in the afternoon, everybody starts coming home again. 40, 50 miles an hour down the boulevard. I hate to say it, but it's gonna take somebody to get killed out here before anybody takes any action. The houses are getting run down. There's a lot of drugs out here. It's just going in the toilet. It's just a mess. So I know I'm up with my time, but I just really wish somebody would take the bull by the horn, and especially with the speed, because it's bad. It's really bad.
Right, thank you, Chief. I'd like to ask staff on the cleanup of Highway 4. I don't know if that's county or if that's state, but I agree on any of those. So we should make every effort we can to contact them and kind of work on that. And I think we do have a representative from Sheriff's and CHP here this evening, so maybe they can address some of that.
Thank you very much, and Director Capiz, if you could, and ask a continuation of item, I think it was H, to the April 23.
Correct, and if you're going to continue that item to the April 20th meeting. Is there any other public comment? We'll close public comment.
You've got one.
That was too quick to
pull the trigger. Oh, no, my name was a little
slow.
My name is Grant Fulton. Been a resident out here for 20 years. Been a resident on Discovery Point for 12 or 13 years. Previous to that, was out on the ball court.
She said it was
the
neighbor next door.
They mentioned to the problem speed.
So do you think that's what it is?
I literally had a 25 mile an hour speed limit sign in my front yard. County posted, it's there. I'm in the construction business, so I have ways of procuring speed limit signs that are different. Thinking about changing the one there from 25 to 5. Thinking that, oh, that means you're going to automatically add 20 and then we can get to the speed limit, right? It's a little ridiculous to be saying that, but it is a chronic crisis problem we're having out here. And
is there a screen in the back?
I was told that CHP just showed up, that I should voice these opinions or voice these concerns when CHP is here. I've made several calls, and there was a period of 3 months last year where I made six. Every 2 weeks, I call them. Every time somebody goes ripping down our street, 45, 50 miles an hour, I'm on the phone. And the response I get every time is, we don't have the resources to patrol out there. Yet, I'll come home from work and I'll see three of the CHP cars, sitting at Starbucks. And I realize they deserve their breaks, and I get it. But if that's the kind of, if that's the converge area, well, why can't they do some special monitoring out here? It's chronic, and it is a crisis proportions. He's right. Somebody has to die, and then everybody will be all concerned. Oh, we didn't know we had problems.
Thank you for coming.
Right. Absolutely.
Is there any other public comment? Please.
George, and I live right here in town too. I got kids, River Lake. It's just a shortcut. Like you said, the hours are right on the, they just fly down the street. I got a kid's slow sign. I got two cones in the middle of the street. Yeah, it's crazy. I have kids. I don't want them to get hurt. You know, I jumped in a couple of cars already to slow him down. One lady rolled down her window and apologized. Another truck, he slowed down and then kept on going. And then I saw another lady, she turned around and apologized too. So it's just a straightaway, I wish we could get speed bumps or something. It's just, I didn't want my kids to get hurt or anybody else.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? Yes.
My name is Steve Sterling. I've lived out here since 1982, so probably something longer than some of you. But on this topic, I just have one real quick thing, and it's more of a request than a litany of different things. I agree with what everybody said. But I would like the board and town and sheriff and highway patrol to use whatever influence you have with the county to change this yield sign at Discovery Bay Boulevard and Willow Lake Road to a stop sign. I walk quite regularly all the way around Discovery Bay. A lot of kids walk through there. I personally have nearly been hit at that intersection at least a dozen times in the last year because there are people who are listening to us who want to see if they can continue their 40 plus miles an hour around that corner and go by the school and never slow down. And it's an extreme. Excuse me, extremely dangerous. I'm surprised that the child hasn't been hit and killed yet. I know we don't have control over the streets, but I think we probably have enough influence to get the county to change that from stop sign. If anybody complains, too bad, they'll get home 10 seconds late. And that's, I don't know what you can do about that, but I think you probably have some influence you can adopt somewhere.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Seeing no public comment, we'll close public comments. I think I'm assuming staff will base notes of those comments. And
yes, we have, and we will follow up on this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to have an area agency report, so Sheriff's Office, please.
Deputy Valine, your resident deputy, we'll go through the steps. We had one abandoned 911 call, 5 911 hangups, a whole bunch of audible alarms, 1 battery, the battery was domestic, a brandishing weapon, 13 civil cases. 1 civil disturbance, 3 commercial burglaries, 4 moving violations, 8 non-moving violations, 7 disturbing the pieces, fire EMS response information calls, 2 found properties, a fraud by false pretenses, harassment, 2 identity thefts. And it was spring break, so we had 11 juvenile disturbances. Kids this week or last month. 2 lost properties, 3 loud musics, a loud party, 3 medical hospitalization calls. Took only 1 mentally ill commit this month, much better than last month. A missing adult, missing juvenile, another felony. 15 outside assists, that's basically helping other agencies do investigations for what they're working on. 3 parkers, 26 patrol requests, a bicycle theft, petty theft from a vehicle, a petty theft shoplift purse, and then residential burg. We had one of those over at the Centex property over across from Safeway, and I'm proud to say we have 3 in custody. They're sitting in jail right now as a result, and that's because the citizens stood up, made phone calls, and said, hey, they're over here. And partnering with our citizens, we were able to catch these folks and put 3 people in jail as a result and get all the property back. Right. A runaway juvenile. Security checks, a whole bunch of service to citizens. This is kind of your general questions the citizens have. Supplemental reports, nobody's interested in that. suspicious circumstances, vehicle stops and pedestrian stops. Some trespasses, we had four of those. Unauthorized possession charges, uncontrollable juvenile, three vandalisms, one walking the driveway, eight verbal disputes, violation of custody order, violation of restraining order, one more arrest, and four welfare checks. You guys have questions for me?
Yeah, I have. We have moving violations. Is that tickets that are issued by the sheriff?
Typically, that's going to end up being tickets. Yes, they were stopped for a moving violation. It doesn't say whether or not they were issued tickets. I don't have those stats in front of me. The board likely, yes.
And the other, there was a public comment you received in reference to drug use, rising and things. Where would that in this report kind of fit? Or is it a special category?
Some of the suspicious circumstances would be. But I think we only had one drug arrest and four citizens in here.
So you're, based on your knowledge working out here pretty much full time, have you seen an increase in the drug situation at all?
I haven't seen an increase in the drug usage. I do see a little bit more marijuana usage, but that's because our laws have changed. Okay. The stats certainly aren't showing that, but if there's issues going on, you have to call. If you call, we'll come out and do everything we can to resolve the issue, and we'd love to put people in jail. Give us a chance.
In reference to speeding, things like that, I know there's a little bit of issue Sheriff's Department sees speeding. Generally speaking, how do you guys go about enforcing that?
Typically, like you said, CHP is their primary responsibility. They're the ones that get the revenue from the citations and stuff like that. It's their primary job to investigate all the traffic issues. Obviously, if we see something happening in front of us, we're going to make an enforcement stop and we're going to take the appropriate action. I don't have radar in my car. I can't sit and, you know, watch people go by and go, okay, 26 miles an hour, 27, 48, okay, we can stop him. So our speed estimation has to be done based on our training experience and being able to try to pace a car or estimate the speed. So it's not quite that easy. We don't have the gear yet.
I'm just going down the road here a little bit to address some of the public comments. If you did have the radar equipment and were trained, you have the, I guess you have the desire to use it, but what's the department's philosophy on that?
I can't speak to the department's philosophy. Do you want to?
That traffic enforcement for speeding, we're not set up with radar or LIDAR or anything like that. Because, again, it's the CHP's responsibility, and if we handle the criminal activity in the county.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No.
That's the CHP report.
Officer Thomas of the Highway Patrol, the stats for last month, month of March. We had 42 citations written for speed enforcement out here, five for stop signs. For registration, we had 47. Other miscellaneous, like cell phone, SQL, we had another seven. And then we had three DUI arrests out here, one for drunk in public and one warrant arrest. That's what we had out here. So I walked in here for the latter part of a couple of your comments about speed and stuff like that. Did you guys want to ask me now, or do you want to go one-on-one and ask for anything like that outside?
Whatever you'd like me to do.
Whatever you guys want to do, it's all okay with me.
As I said, I have called numerous times.
For the recording.
And the person on the other end.
Mr. President, I'm sorry, just for recording purposes and for the record purposes, you're either going to need to come to the podium or have the dialogue afterwards. So you can stand there and share the tag team mic.
So I would be, the person answering the phone, the dispatcher, would say, I will have an officer call me. An officer would call me,
And he'd be somewhere out in Concord, or Lafayette, or Richmond. And he says, you can't bring anybody out there for this. And I said, well, can I have a sergeant call? He was the sergeant was the only one that called me back. And I said, you need to get a special detail out here for a week. Once a week or 1 week out of a year. And my comment was, jokingly, you'd solve the state budget crisis out here. Now, if you're sticking out like a sore thumb, everybody's gonna see you. But there is a blatant disregard for speed, for stop signs, for pedestrians, for right of way, for everything out here. And they know you're not here. Now I realize you wrote 42 tickets out here. In the sheriff's department, they wrote 4. That's great. I'm thinking that you guys could do 10-fold. Not that that's a great thing or a bad thing, and nobody really wants that, but there needs to be an appreciation for the laws. That's not happening. And like I say, they know you're not out here. Sorry to say this, but they know the sheriff's probably not going to do anything to you. So, because they know, if you've been here long enough, you've heard the same line, we don't do vehicle enforcement. So I was actually surprised about the blocking the driveway, because my very first encounter years ago was calling the sheriff about a vehicle blocking my driveway. Their comment was, call you guys. Yeah. 2 hours later, somebody came out and took care of it. But,
okay, thank you very much. Yeah. We got to adjust to that.
I understand.
As the temperatures are getting increasingly warm, we do see a lot of increase in traffic and stuff like that. With the population growing out here, I don't know who you're calling. I can meet with you out here later and give you a phone number to give you some more direct information. I'm the officer that works complaints out here, and I do come out here quite often. I'm in the white car, I'm a Clipper, Newport, and I float around and stuff out here. I'm aware of the speed issues and stuff like that. I don't know if you're talking dispatch and they're passing on to a different individual, you know, wrong person who are maybe OIC or something like that. But still, I'll give you a phone number too. With the increase of populations, what's going on here is our staffing levels are staying the same. We're not really increasing the revenue issue. All departments are recruiting and stuff like that. So with the increase of population, it's we're having an issue getting out there and do education, through enforcement or through meetings and stuff like that, okay? A lot of the times too, if I'm out doing enforcement, this happens a lot. When I'm in Discovery Bay here, for example, I cover from Pacheco this way myself, okay? So I'm kind of stretching a little bit. So when I'm doing enforcement, I come out here, 80% of the enforcement stops that I do are local residents that live in the area. So if I'm on Newport or Clipper, 80% of those people that I just drove last week when I was out here, I got a guy 61 miles an hour that live a block away right off Clipper. And a lot of it is, we have to set examples each other, ourselves, about our communities. And I understand it's hard to do. I live out over here, too, and stuff. If you're out driving around and stuff, set an example and purposely drive a speed limit. Other people will go around and start noticing that. You get hard to do.
Then they pass you.
Yeah. But increasing, if everyone started doing that, people are going to be more hesitant to start passing. But when everyone starts increasing speeds over the course of time, you see what I'm saying? All of a sudden, instead of going 30 and 25, everyone's speeding up to 35.
That's what's happening.
And that's what slowly everyone's attitudes are adjusting to that and stuff like that. Another thing that happens too is if I'm out over here, I see this a lot too, is a cop is overdoing enforcement somewhere. Well, a lot of the public's going by. I'm assuming we've all seen this. People are driving the other way, they're doing, they're flashing their lights, and everyone, there's a cop over here. We're out here for specific reasons to do this, okay? I'd much rather be with my family or something on vacation in Cancun, that'd be really cool. But we're out here to do something, and you guys want us here too as a community to do something, and it makes our jobs very difficult. When we get complaints, I get complaints all the time, hey, there's a lot of speed out over here on Big Square Road, they're ripping up and down. I go out here and everyone's warning things, like, hey, there's a cop over here. So I'm out here for 30 minutes or an hour, and I'm like, well, I wrote 2 tickets out here, and everyone calls in and says there's traffic just ripping up and down this road. It's habits like that. If we're out there, let's not warn everyone that the cops are there. If someone gets popped, and stuff, that's so be it. That will give an education and hopefully deter their behavior and stuff like that. So did that kind of answer any questions there? And we can go outside and get some more. So
yeah,
that's totally fine. So
yeah, they will.
That would have been tied up here.
Yeah, we're really having a lot to appreciate the input and the insight from your standpoint also.
Yeah.
So the last 2 days, about 2 hours ago, on Newport entering Highway 4 on westbound, there was a silver and orange KTM or Enduro of your bike guy leading the whole length almost to McDonald's, and I'm sitting out twice. Kind of crazy.
Same time of day?
Yeah.
About
4 to 6.
That's cool.
Anything else?
I think we covered.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be out here if once we're done, if you guys want to come out and talk and stuff like that. Something else, Ford. I'm sure you guys are familiar with Officer Mitchell. You've probably seen him in the past and everything. Today is his last day. He's retiring.
Oh, wow.
I used to be out here before Bill was done, probably 10 years ago. I didn't recognize him before, but I was there and did. I wish I could help him with my last day, and the problems haven't changed, but I'm leaving, and I have 34 years of good run with the Highway Club, 3 years with the Sheriff's Department, and unfortunately we have a mandatory retirement age of 60. I don't know other agencies that do that. I would stay if I could, but I got to have another job lined up with the Union City as a railroad cop, so I'm going to be able to continue to do that and do what I like to do. So, but. For those who remember me, anyway, I just want to say it's a pleasure serving all your folks, and I wish I could have found you, so hopefully I'll be able to see you.
Best of luck to you.
Great. All right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Services is going to come out and hold a forum to talk about safety and one and so forth. So there's a flyer back there for that if anyone's interested. And then also there's a free home composting workshop that will be offered at the Delta Community Presbyterian Church on Saturday, May 7th from 10 to noon, and that's also in the back of the room. Just a reminder that the Discovery Bay P6 Citizen Advisory Committee next meeting is next Wednesday at 6 o'clock here at this building. And last but not least, the Department of Boating and Waterways is out treating our waterways right now. And you can either sign up through our office or through the Department of Boating and Waterways to receive those weekly treatment sites of where they're at and what they're treating. If they're treating in your area, contact me or you can contact the state, whatever's easiest and most convenient. And other than that, that's all I got.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to the consent calendar. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. This is the next tonight. Award of the bid for the wastewater treatment plant filtration project. Staff.
Thank you, Gregory Harrison, District Engineer. We'll be making the staff report and presentation. And just one note from my perspective, this is the result of an immense amount of effort on the part of Gregory, Virgil, and really the entire team, Dina, as well. So it's a lot of work, very thick, I think 800 pages of documents, a good document. So it's a result of a lot of work. And Gregory will present the recommendations.
Give me 1 second.
So, as you know, bids were received on Monday at the community center at 2 o'clock. You should have a handout on your desk of bid results. Here we go. And then for the audience, there's some of the back tables as well. And so the low bidder was Auburn Constructors at $6.4 million. The next lowest bidder, number two, was Anderson Pacific Engineering Construction at $6.46 million. Western Water Constructors was at $6.7 million. Bovera was 6.716. CW Rowan was 7,041,000. KG Walters was 7.1 million. GSE Construction was 7.121 million. And Gateway Pacific was 7.274 million. The project, the good news for us is the engineer's estimate was 6.5 million. So we came in $100,000 under my estimate. Which I'll take full credit for. Actually, we had a lot of interest in this project. In fact, we had more interest in this project than any previous project for Discovery Bay. We had 18 generals pick up plans and specifications. We had a job walk group with 30 people at the job walk. And we got eight quality bids, all grouped very tightly together, which means everyone had a solid understanding of the project and what it was going to take. And I've done work with Auburn Contractors before. They are currently doing well over $30 or $40 million of work for other clients right now at their companies. And they've been in business for 25 years. So in terms of the overall budget for the project, we originally had a budget of $7.4 million for the entire project, which included engineering and it included pilot testing that took place a year ago, as well as the construction costs of $6.4 million. And then there will be geotechnical services and engineering services and construction management during construction that will take place. So the good news is if the bids came in at $6.5 million, we'd be right on budget. That and the bids came in a little bit lower. That's actually good because we did go over slightly over budget on one of the two items, So we're going to stick with the budget, 7.4 million for the whole project. And that's basically the update on the budget. We did have some questions arise during the bidding, actually after we opened the bids. Western Water, who was the number three contractor, had wanted to get some copies of the bid documents from the 1-2 low bidders so that they could review for a possible protest if there were bid irregularities. We did not find any bid irregularities, as well as council did not find any bid irregularities. So we are recommending approval of the, or I should say award of the contract to to Auburn contractors. Approval authorization for general manager execute documents and a 10% contingency.
Thank you, and may I add, in addition to that, you'll see in your recommended action, it's all the, also to concur with the finding that it's exempt pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA Guidelines 15301, a class 1 exemption.
Okay. Do board have any clarifying questions before you have a public comment?
Greg, are there any, is Auburn doing any local projects?
No.
Bay Area?
They're predominantly Central Valley and Foothills.
Is there any public comment? Seeing no public comment, I'll close public comment. Do I hear a motion?
I would move approval of an award of contract to Auburn Constructors Incorporated in the amount of $6,401,300 and the approval of the CEQA document approval.
No, second.
Second. Move to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries.
I just may confirm that your motion and the second and vote included the recommendation for the up to 10% change order allowance.
Right. And authorization of you to.
And authorization for me to sign documents.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to item F2, Hewitt Engineering, for the annual assessment for Ravenswood Improvement District. You're back.
The Street 99 Safety District for Zone 9, which is Ravenswood, is annual. And an annual report has to be prepared for that. Engineer's report has to be prepared. It's the only guaranteed work I get. At any rate, we take the finances for the previous year, we add them up, and then we confirm that the assessment is appropriate for the upcoming year. And that report is due in June. The union rock basically authorizing us to go prepare that report and bring it back in June. And then you authorize the assessment that will take place on tax roll coming up in July.
Just for the public knowledge, last year, do you recall what the assessment increase was?
I think we dropped it last year.
Praise Lord,
I think we dropped it last year because they had some things that they bought. They had the splash pads and the things that they paid off. And I think they actually lowered it by $10 last year.
Right. Do I hear a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Excuse me, I should do a public comment. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment. Back to the board.
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. President. Before going on, would you like to go back to item number D, the committee liaison reports?
Yes, I guess we would. We have a transplant.
We do not, and we do not have a report from the County Planning Commission.
Code enforcement?
Yes, there was a meeting last week, and General Manager and I attended. The only issue that came up with regard to Discovery Bay was some complaints, but questions from the community about short-term rentals of properties in the area. And the county is going to look into whether there's any ability to monitor, control, or otherwise look at the ability of people to rent their houses out on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a report coming back from the county on that issue.
All right. Thank you. Special districts need to
You actually have a special districts meeting coming up, and I have an agenda passed to you and to Mark Simon, for both the members that attend, and it's on Monday, March 18th.
Okay, we're going to move on to item G.
Nope. F3.
F3, I guess I'm in a hurry.
I appreciate it, though.
Conocosta County LAFCO staff.
Thank you very much. This item is put on the agenda at the request of Director Steele. Conocosta LAFCO is considering establishing a policy regarding the preservation of agriculture and open space lands. And as you know, LAFCO does not have land use authority, but they do have a significant impact on the preservation of agriculture within our county because of their role in setting district boundaries. And in our county, agricultural preservation and the policy discussion began in the 1980s, and then in 1990, the citizens of the county adopted the urban limit line in our measure 6535, which were two significant measures to preserve agriculture in our county. Our agriculture represents 120 million of economic output every year, and over 1,700 jobs, and those are just direct. That doesn't include all the multipliers that people usually do. But during 1990 to 2008, our county lost 19% of our cropland and 37% of the prime land was converted to agricultural use. And I know as a resident of Discovery Bay myself, I do enjoy living in an agricultural area. It provides certainly part of our landscape that really is important, I think, to us. So LAFCO has one of their objectives that they have as an organization is that they want to evaluate the impact of projects on agricultural and open space land. So the policy was in your packet and it is before you, policies, goals, and guidelines, as well as I looked at their application materials for what it would mean for our district should we need to put forth an expansion for water or wastewater in the future. And I really think that LAFCO has struck a very good line. I know that there will be those that will argue that they should be more stringent or less stringent, but I think that they did actually walk a really good path with their proposal that they have. The one comment that I have, just as a previous planner, is they have a mitigation level of a 1-to-1 ratio, which usually isn't considered enough only because you're not going to remove a factory and then grow tomatoes. So you really aren't mitigating at a 1-to-1. You really are, the intent there is to see if you can buy development rights to convert, to conserve land that is already in agricultural production. But in terms of the impact on Discovery Bay and our the district and the needs of the district, I think that we can certainly work with these policies. We can certainly make the findings for what we need to do. We have sufficient land within Plant 2. So if you wish to send a letter supporting LAFCO's efforts in this, I think that that would be entirely appropriate. They are asking that all the districts in the county and all the cities look at this issue. But I didn't see anything in here that would warrant any areas of concern for you.
Okay.
I sent an observation. I just wanted to make sure that we're all aware of this. And just that we leave that land around, there's somebody who needs some flexibility to do that. The ratio, I think, is not very good. The town's secure.
Yeah. What's the board's view?
Letters.
All right, thank you. We'll have staff draft that and send it off.
Okay, I will do that.
As it is an agendized item, you are going to need to take action and direct staff to do that.
Do I hear a motion to direct staff?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we're going to go to F4, the contract, the old school contract, and the amount of $14,250.
Thank you very much. As you know, back in February, this board approved the use of one-time funds, which were received from the PG&E gas line maintenance project, as well as some PG&E donations that occurred as a result of the outage in December. And at the time, we came up with a list of items, and we have been focusing our efforts on those items that really are clearly safety items. And what you have before you is we are going through and getting bids on all of those. Brian Miller, our Parks and Landscape Manager, is here. And if Brian, you have any comments, feel free to add on if I'm missing anything. But Brian's been doing a great job going out and getting bids on everything, but we have been focusing on safety items first. And so what we have before you is a request to authorize a contract with Old School Concrete in an amount of $14,250 for concrete work at the community center. And you see the list of these are all safety to remove tripping hazards, to ensure that we are ADA compliant. That is the focus of this contract. And I also have in the report that we received three bids. I included the items and the value of each of those bids so that you can compare those. And this was the low bid.
And they're a qualified contractor?
Yeah, they're on the VIR. It also includes the ADA access to the pool.
Okay.
We don't have at this point. So that includes the concrete block for that. The gate's going to be installed probably next week for access.
Okay. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, we'll see all the public comment. I hear a motion to approve.
Okay. I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, now we're going to go to G1. We'll turn that over to staff.
Thank you, and unfortunately we only have one screen that's showing, so to the public, I apologize for that. So this is an update on where we are in conservation, and this is put on the board at the request of Director Mark Simon. And as you know, the governor issued a number of proclamations over the course of the last couple of years to establish, and hopefully we all implement statewide, achieve a 25% water conservation goal. Good, it's cooking. So the state, in order to achieve that goal, set a reduction standard for various public agencies anywhere from 8 to 36%. And our district was one of those that originally received that 36% reduction standard. That was subsequently reduced down to 32%. And so from last June through February, we have been measured on that 32%. Cumulative statewide, the state has reduced 24.8% through January of 06, which is 1.147 million acre feet of water. They are 96%, and at the state level, they express real appreciation and satisfaction with those achievements. Oops, back. Okay. I thought that this slide was nice to show that out of 411 urban water suppliers, who's making it and who's not making it. Lucky for us, we are in that top tier of one of the 234 or 58% that have exceeded our or within 1% of achieving our goal. And in fact, we have achieved our goal. This next slide is another way of looking at that same information. And those in the green, I say, you're all go, you're all doing well. And this shows this information from June 2015 until February 2016. Those in the yellow are between 1 and 5 percentage points off from meeting their standard. The orange between 5 and 15, and then the pink at the top with the salmon greater than 15 percentage points. And I can promise you that Beverly Hills is in that pink area. There were a lot of South Coast in that area. There were some in our region, but there were an awful lot of South Coast. But you can see, if you look at those trends, that as we go into January was a difficult month to meet those standards. You see that those numbers are dropping down, and February was a little bit tough too. So January 2016 saw that lowest level of water compliance. With only 58% of the 411 districts in the state meeting the standard, but they also, and we should note, it was the month that residents used the least water, and so it wasn't all bad news. So the next slide is for Discovery Bay, and this is our water usage, our water production, and Virgil's the one Virgil there. Virgil is the one that maintains and produces this information for us and is the source of this information. So this is 2013, and now we can see the drop in 2014, followed by a remarkable drop in 2015. And then lastly, you can see the purple color. We just have the first months of 2016 in January and February. So these, when you just scroll through, these are really nice trends to see, really nice reductions, and show a lot of hard work on the part of the residents in our community. So we are very appreciative for all the work that everyone is doing. This line here is just another way of looking at that same information, and you can certainly see the peaks on this. Again, you see the top is 2013, the red is 2014, green 2015, and then the purple down on the left, we have a couple months, January and February, showing for 2016. All trending in a great direction, but you really can see the peak usage in our community. It was a really nice way of showing that. So our consumption summary is from June 2015 to January, we had a 36.2% conservation, and we exceeded our 32% goal. Not by much, but we did. There were some people that were at 10% or 12%, but there were a whole lot. I can tell you it's a 14-page document that shows all the 411, and we're down on 9 or 10, which is where the good guys are, those that are keeping that. February, our conservation was 35%, again, a really nice number. Now, kind of looking forward and where we think we will be in terms of weather, as you know, our snowpack reaches heaviest water content at the beginning of April, and the measurements that were done in the first week in April show that the water content is 80% of normal rate, so it was considered pretty good. This, I thought, was a great slide because it shows the reservoir conditions in the state, and you really are able to see that there's a significant difference between what's happening in the north part of the state and the south part of our state. So what you see in blue is the percentage of capacity. So if you look at Trinity Lake up there on the left, you'll see that it's at 54% of the capacity. And then the number on the right, the red number, is the percent of the historic. Where are they historically, you know, based on that day? So historically, we've been at 68%, they're at 54%. But if you look at Shasta and you see those very strong numbers, Shasta is over where they were historically at 109%, Lake Oroville 114%, Folsom Lake 111%. So what you see in this north area, this is probably what drove the Department of Water Resources to increase from 10% to 40%, the distribution to the water suppliers in the state, those that gain the water through the Central Valley Water Project, they increased the amounts that they got. But then as you move down to the southern part of the state, you'll see these numbers are dropping at the very end, Paris Lake at 36% and Castaic Lake at 40%. Pine Flat 40. So you really see that we are a tale of two parts of the state, those with water and those that would like the water. Mm-hmm. Next slide, I thought this was a nice one to see, even though this is just a portion of the state. This is our Northern Sierra precipitation chart. And what I thought was so helpful about this is, you know, being lifelong California residents is being alive during most of when those lines were written, not the 1922, but most of the others, you can really see the variety in rainfall that we have in our state. And it shows how it's really difficult to predict from one year to the next year where we're going to be. It could be a feast or a famine in terms of the water that we have in the state. So continuing and going forward, Department of Water Resources is correctly cautioning that one, you know, good year doesn't undo 4 years of drought, and that all of Southern California is below average precipitation, and that groundwater levels have dropped to low. And then I added a quote from the State Department of Water Resources chair that Californians have risen to the occasion, but we really do need to stay the course. Coming up on April 20th, the Department of Water Resources is hosting a workshop asking what elements of the emergency regulations should be modified. And those were those regulations that caused all of us that required us to limit water to 2 days a week, no watering within 48 hours of precipitation, etc. Should they be modified? How should the state account for regional differences in precipitation? So for those areas that have a lot of rainfall, should there be different answers to them for then someone who has less rainfall? And item number C, which actually I'm not as comfortable with, is to what extent should reliability of an urban water supplier affect emergency regulations? And in that case, I can just imagine Southern California Water saying that they have reliability because they have secured contracts, even though they have light rain, low precipitation, you know, and difficult water. So I think it would be unfortunate if they relied on contracts that large water suppliers had on item number C and they would be changing them. So for us going forward as an organization, we are going to have more information from the state that we believe is coming in late April, early May, and we'll bring that back to you. We believe that because we are 4 percentage points above our target, that it is not the time to relax regulations. That may change. On March 1, our standard reduces down to 29%. So if we keep hitting 35%, we're going to be able to come back to you and tell you we have a cushion. One of the areas that questions have been raised is on that splash pad, which was, you know, really a wonderful community asset. So we're doing a water analysis of it and finding out, you know, what would that do to us if we opened it, you know, 6 hours, a couple days a week on Saturdays and Sundays? And what would that mean? And how much water usage is that really? And Virgil's going to be working on that for us. And then lastly, we've started talking internally, Brian and Virgil and myself, about just the general amount of turf that the district has and whether it's possible to look, as you know, those of you that are golfers, there's a lot of literature out there about golf courses and how much turf can you cut back while still preserving the state of the play. And they're talking generally about a 25%. You can still keep the state of the play. And so we're starting to have some internal discussions about what can we do to make sure our play fields are really doing well so we don't have children tripping and falling and spraining their ankles. We can make sure they can still use those play fields, but we're pulling out of the turf. We have a long-term plan to start reducing some of this turf in areas where we might be able to do it, like the front of the community center, where we might be able to demonstrate some zero-scape landscaping for residents here. So we're beginning those conversations. And Virgil, did you have anything else? Virgil, help me with this, and it was supplying that
tip. You talked about the water conservation, and we just got back. I don't think you mentioned our March numbers at all. The state reduced our conservation number from 32 to 29, because we are very much of a warm district, the warm air and the hot air that we have during the summertime. But for the month of March, we got 38% savings reduction. So that's really good. Our residents are really coming through. I got to tell you, there's some yahoos out there, and I'm pressuring the yahoos to, short of giving them a fine, we are hitting them pretty hard paper-wise. And let them be aware, but we are doing very well. And look, we can't relax. Mm-hmm. I think an article that just came out over the weekend from Stanford University is saying, Californians, this is going to be the norm going forward. We need to be thinking about how do we plan to utilize the water. As you five, four up there know that water is not manufactured. And water that's in our rivers and our streams is recycled over and over again. So we just need to find a way as we grow in the way of population and our crops, how do we still manage to grow, generate the revenue for our farmers, and still have water for us to enjoy.
Thank you for the report. I think it's very enlightening. Did that answer some of your questions?
All my questions. Thank you.
Very well. Great. I would like to make a comment on the Yahoo's factor. Don't be afraid to issue a fine, I think, or to put a policy into place.
Right.
And if there's repeated violations, I would expect them to go ahead and start the fine process. Okay. leash process has been postponed to the 20th. I don't have a report, but any other directors have comments? Manager's report.
Thank you. Virgil, did you have anything you wanted to add? Anything else on your plate that you wanted to talk about? No, you're all set? Okay, thank you. And Brian?
Can you pull up the pictures for the dog park?
I'll add a little something to the water situation. We're continuing the same programs that we did last year. We are increasing the park's water slightly. I'd like to get ahead of the game. Last year when I came in, we were kind of behind the game. Everything was completely turned off. And we never did really get a chance to catch up. So we have a little bit different program. Virgil will let me know that we're staying within our water usage and we'll see if we can do a better job.
All right. I was out at Cornell today and the fields were good.
Yeah, they are improving.
They are improving.
Yeah, for the spring. Yeah, unfortunately, we can't really do any real renovation work without increasing water usage. So, but we got there creative and done some seeding down. It's starting to go. So the marsh rains are the best for us.
So, Brian, we took a few pictures for you to.
Over the last week, we installed the small dog park, including the fencing. We also added some picnic tables to both the livestock park and the small dog park. We ran water for the small dog park, as you can see Marcus in the picture. We did some irrigation repairs. We just have to drill through the line all the way up, and it was unfortunate, but that's the way it goes. We did find an area. We had a reported an injury of a small dog in the northwest corner of the park. The neighboring fences, someone did a repair there. They actually brought in a construction fencing piece, and instead of wrapping it with wire, they wrapped it with barbed wire. So we cut all the barbed wire out and rewrapped it with smooth wire. I'm pretty sure that's where the animal got injured. It did get injured in the park.
And then the other item that we wanted to mention to you is that there was a small Maltese dog that was killed at Cornell Park by another dog. Both dogs were off leash. This follows in November of last year where one of our employees was attacked, unprovoked, by an off-leash dog also at Cornell Park, and then we understand that there was another resident that sometime in 2015 was attacked by a dog at Cornell Park. So we have
It was actually in the dog park, and Carol's daughter got bit in the dog park, too.
So we believe that now that we have an off-leash area and dog park, you know, both for large dogs and small dogs, it's time to address the off-leash and the ramifications of that. What Brian has been reporting is that even though that area is signed, when they've approached people and asked them to put the dogs back on leash, they're not getting a receptive response. So we have contacted the lieutenant with the county's animal control, and she's going to be coming out and meeting with Brian and I, and we're going to be walking the parks and looking at the signage, and she's going to help us with education and then ultimately with enforcement.
Right.
Thank you, Brian.
Okay, general manager's report.
I think that's everything for tonight.
Okay. District legal?
Nothing for me this evening.
Subcommittee update. Water Wastewater Committee met and has had a discussion. If you recall, they wanted to analyze the possibility of moving Plant 1 or retaining Plant 1 in modernizing. There's going to be a report brought back to the board, but the thumbnail sketch that was provided is going to look like it's most cost effective to keep that one operating. Go ahead and make the improvements needed, which will last probably another 20, 25 years. We will have capacity or land capacity to add another oxidation ditch at Plant 2 if there is development coming in that particular. So we're well beyond 20 years, we can go out to another 30 or 40 years here. So I think our job is this current board, once we have a chance to fully discuss it, we'll be able to make the proper decision for the future on the plan. Okay. There was some correspondence. Pickleball court, letter of water boards.
Yes, and I have two items. There was a letter that I wanted to make sure that you got that had come in that we received from Randy Forge and Robert Lyman regarding the pickleball courts, and so that is in your packet for your information. It's a little bit, I wanted to make sure you had it because it came in and they were asking me to reconsider our previous decision on where pickleball courts would be, but at this point, any decision I think would be premature. We're still in the process of getting bids, and the first items that we've really been focusing on are making sure we're ADA compliant and we're removing some really fairly severe safety issues. And so those are the first, and we're just not at that issue yet. That'll be probably several months down. We're still getting bids, and so there will be a time to talk about it on the agenda, and I'll communicate with both Randy and Robert, but it is premature at this time. And then the second was, I apologize, I did say on the agenda that I included a letter from the water board saying that we did receive our important approval to increase our flow up to 2.35 million gallons per day. And by accident, I included a different letter, which is fine to see, but probably of less interest to you, which is that East Bay Mud had some compliance issue down on Bixler, and they believe that they're all now in compliance, which I... It's great that you have it, but I didn't think you were that interested. So we pass that out on your plate, and we'll make sure that it's included on our website as well.
One clear question on one-time monies. Where are we with the PGE fund? I know they have to go through a process of their board or something. Do we have any information on where we stand? Or who's monitoring that?
We received the bulk of the money, so the $300,000, we received that. I think we're still waiting for the $5,000 check.
There's the $17,000 and the
$5,000.
So
about
$20,000.
That is correct.
Okay. I'm working with BGB on those two
pieces. Okay. Brian's bothering them about every other day.
Okay, perfect.
I want the money too.
Okay, any future agenda items from the board?
No.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned at 8:07.